And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I thank you for joining me today. Hope you're having a great day out there. I want you to take a moment and think back to a day earlier in the week. Let's say a work day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, if that's when you work. How did the day start? Probably something like this, right? This is my household once upon a time. Alarm goes off, right? I'm real estate retired now, so I don't have these issues. But alarm goes off and you lay there for a minute, right? And you think, should I hit snooze? Yeah, I better hit snooze. So you hit snooze, and a little bit later, alarm goes off again, and you repeat the same exercise, you ask the same question, you make the same decision, and you get up, do I need to shower? I was kind of sweaty last night. Do I need to shave? What's for breakfast? Shoot, kids are up. What do I feed them? Right? Do I turn on the morning news? Do I listen to the radio? Do I maybe listen to this podcast? Yeah, that's a great idea. What am I going to do at work? How am I going to get to work? Right? Turn on, check the maps. Right, check it again in 20 minutes. Has anything changed? Do I need to revise my route? Is this really the best way, right? The most optimal way to get to work? And you get there, log on. Or do I make that pot of coffee first, right? Oh, look at that email. That's pretty scathing. Do I want to respond to that now? And what tone do I use? I don't even like that guy. And on and on and on and on, right? Decisions all day long, nonstop. And here's the thing, you know, aside from your daily routine, you've been looking to invest in a rental house. Maybe this is your first one. Maybe it's your fifth. Maybe it's your tenth or more. And suddenly, later in the day, you get three emails, bing, 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 into your inbox, one after the other, with possible houses for sale. And these may be coming from wholesalers that you've connected with. These may be from realtors that you've connected with, or maybe from Lifestyles Realty, right? If you're a member at Lifestyles Unlimited. In fact, I got three emails. Let me give you just some upper-level metrics around these. One of these, first one, it's in Houston, or in and around the Houston area, 1950s build, about 1,100 square feet. My investment, if I wanted to buy this, $14,000 out of pocket, with $49,000 in equity capture. And if you're new to the show and you don't know what that means, we'll explain that a little bit later in the program. And it cash flows, right? Every month, I collect $205 in cash flow. That's the projection, Houston area. Second email, Dallas-Fort Worth area. By the way, if you're new to the program, I sit in Dallas-Fort Worth, so this is my market. 1980s build, 1,400 square feet. It's a little bit different footprint, right? $27,000 out of pocket, cost a little more. $40,000 in equity capture, $307 in cash flow. Third one, it's all the way over in Georgia. 1960s build, 1,000 square feet, $21,000 out of pocket, $22,000 in equity capture, $354 in cash flow. Oh man, you've got the cash to invest in just one of those houses. Which one do you pick? Different locations, different ages, different sizes, right? More or less cash out of your pocket to do the investment. Different cash flows, different equity captures. There are more metrics here, but those are the overarching ones that the realtors at Lifestyles Realty provide me. But your wheels are now turning. They're turning, but you're not getting anywhere. You can't decide, which one do I want? And are you surprised? I mean, after a long day, what have you been doing? Nothing but making decisions about what to wear, what to feed the kids, how to get to work, what to do at work, what not to do, what's for lunch, what's for dinner, go out to eat in, I don't know. And now I have these investments in front of me. And your mind is just worn out, and you cannot decide. And I'm guilty of this. I'm with you on this. After an hour of torturing yourself, you finally reach out to one of the realtors and, well, sorry, that house is gone. Somebody else already stepped up. What just happened? You lost out to something called decision fatigue. And it's a real thing. Decision fatigue. You know, people ask me, show ideas, Andy. Where do you come up with these? I encountered this massively recently. So let's talk about this because I think it's an important thing for you to consider as a real estate investor. Because you will encounter this. And I have some tips and tricks, things you can think about, things to help you overcome decision fatigue so that you don't lose out because you let those wheels spin a little too long. Real estate moves very, very fast. I know if you watch the broader market, the broader press, right, houses are sitting on the market longer and longer. But as investors, it's a different story. In fact, the percentage share of investor bought properties in the first quarter of this year has actually increased. It's jumped up. So investors are still in the market, and you should be too. But you got to make sure you're not hitting these mental hurdles because you've been sitting around making so many decisions all day long. By the way, estimates say that we make somewhere between 33,000 and 35,000 decisions per day. Now, if you net out time spent sleeping, it equates to about 2,000 per hour, which is about one every couple of seconds. And of course, a lot of these are automatic. A lot of these occur simultaneously even, and a lot of these happen in our subconscious. So these are not necessarily active, super active, hardcore, overthought decisions that we're making, but a lot of them are more active, and a lot of them carry more weight. So is it any wonder that at the end of a long day, when those investment opportunities come into your inbox, you're not sure what to do? You've encountered decision fatigue. There's an actual definition here. I found this on Cleveland Clinic is a website. Deal a lot with mental type stuff, but it says, according to a registered psychotherapist, decision fatigue is a phenomenon, not necessarily, it's not a medical condition, right? We all encounter this, where the more decisions a person makes over the course of a day, the more physically, mentally, and emotionally drained they become. Big financial decisions naturally will weigh on us more. And this came up recently because my wife and I, you know, we homeschool our son, and we have to make a lot of decisions around curriculum, around the sundry tools that we use. And we've been looking at getting him involved a little bit more with digitally. So let's go find a device, something he can use, something that will allow him to type. He's very creative. He likes to take pictures and do animation, stuff like that. Let's find something that has that capability. So what did we do? We started researching, we started analyzing, we started discussing, and this went on for a very, very long time. And we realized, man, we just can't make a decision. We were encountered in this situation with decision fatigue. This typically, you know, you make a lot of decisions all day long, and this doesn't impact you. It's when you have these layers on top that you can have these difficulties. And again, it's not something you encounter every day. It's just when you've piled on or added something new to the other thousands and thousands of decisions you make every day. You may not realize it. Now, how do you recognize it? We eventually realize, man, what the heck are we doing? We were procrastinating. We were putting it off. We were circling back to the same conversations we'd had multiple times. This is not a big deal, ultimately. But how do you tell if you've encountered or if you are dealing with decision fatigue in the moment? Procrastination is the big one. And I know in the real estate space, I can tell when I've started to encounter this. It usually doesn't involve things around acquisition these days. It's usually ongoing property management. There are times when I notice that I'm putting off a decision. I'm just avoiding the decision altogether. And this is, again, the one I most commonly detect. So if you find yourself procrastinating, there's probably a layer of decision fatigue that's weighing on top of you at that moment. And that may lead to what actually happened in the case of our son and the device we wound up getting, impulsivity. Like, I just made a decision. This is what we're doing, you know? So you may swing from one end all the way over to the other end of the spectrum and just make a darn decision. And I'm going to talk later about the notion of perfectionism, because that is a problem when it comes to decision fatigue. It's a real problem. So you may swing from procrastination to impulsivity. You may experience things like actual physical issues, headache, tension, right in your shoulders. Your eyes may get tired. You know, there are all kinds of things that can feed into this or be fed by this. Exhaustion and brain fog, quite simply. Or you may become overwhelmed and irritable. Sometimes I notice this with my wife when she's fretting over a particular decision, especially, again, when it comes to the homeschool curriculum. She focuses on this very heavily. I can tell when this is starting to weigh on her. And then you finally make a decision, whether impulsive or not, and then you can't stop thinking about it. You have some level of regret, almost like buyer's remorse. That could be a, you know, latent decision fatigue that is still lingering with you. So again, this is a real thing. You may not encounter this every day. It's not a chronic thing. It's not a disease. It's just something we all face. And some people will deal with it differently. You know, I think type A's probably have less decision fatigue than people like myself. I'm a type B. I'm an overthinker. This is just part and parcel of my personality. And if the sooner you can come to recognize this, I think the better. How do you overcome this? Are there things you can do in your life? Again, thinking more broadly, right? We're going to wrap this part of the conversation up. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back from the break and get into the impacts of real estate investing, because I want you to not be paralyzed when you get to this point. Procrastination. Then you're impulsive. Now you're regretting what you finally decided. But how do you overcome decision fatigue broadly? Well, one thing, again, we make thousands of choices all day long, and eventually it piles up. And even some of the smallest choices can impact you there. You know, there's a classic example with Steve Jobs, right? Former, you know, Apple founder. One of the things he did is he just removed choice from parts of his day. He's known for wearing that black outfit, right? He wore the same outfit every day. It's just one less thing to think about. I'm the same way. I have the same t-shirt on. It's one of many, but, you know, the same type of t-shirt. It's the same thing I wear every day. I eat oatmeal every day for breakfast. I like oatmeal. You know, I add a lot of good stuff to it, but I don't think about it, right? There's not a decision around that. So you can create habits. You can create routines around certain areas in your life that simply remove that choice, right? Make those good habits. Make those good routines. But by building those in, it's like automation. It's like automation. And if there are parts of your life, places in your life that you can automate, like paying bills, right? If you can automate that, you don't have to think about, ooh, credit card statement came out. I think that's coming due. Do I need to go pay that? Just automate that stuff. Automate your bills. Automate as much of your life as you can. And those decisions are minimized. On top of that, streamline your choices. Don't just make random choices. And you can help yourself here by having a checklist. And a classic example is going to the grocery store. And I still like to go to the grocery store, right? But if you ever find yourself, you've got your list, and you're walking down, and you start eyeballing some product here. And then you realize there are 10 different varieties of that particular thing. This is not even on your list. And you just start thinking about, well, I'd kind of like to get that thing. But is that thing next to it better, or maybe the one over? You know, in German, they've got a phrase, die Qual der Wahl. It's the torture of choice. When you have too many choices, that becomes overwhelming. Avoid that. Streamline your choices. Have a checklist and stick to that, right? That'll help you, again, minimize all these little decisions we're making all day long. And then when you can, delegate, right? Delegate that to somebody else. That's going to come up in particular when we get to the real estate investing side of things. And then just take care of yourself. Sleep well, you know, an appropriate amount of time. Exercise, generally managing stress. You know, the more stressed you are, the harder it is to make a decision. And, you know, I personally find if I am encountering this procrastination issue that I encounter from time to time, I find a good walk just around the block with the dog, without the dog, doesn't matter. Just getting out and moving without the phone, ideally, and letting my brain wander. I find that that's helpful when confronted, especially with a bigger decision. Right, those three properties I named, they all work for me within my criteria, what I'm looking for. If I can only buy one, well, I need to think about that briefly, not forever. And sometimes a quick walk will do that. And the last thing before we head into the break, and this is probably the most important, is that if it is a truly big decision, make that in the morning. In fact, prioritize a part of your day early on for decision making, for big decisions. Because get what happens over the course of the day, all these little decisions pile up, and by late afternoon, early evening, your brain is just exhausted. And if this is the time I now choose to make a big financial decision, I may not make a good decision. Or I may just procrastinate and lose that opportunity altogether. So do that in the morning. First thing in the morning. Best time to do it. A quick break. We'll be right back.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. I'm chuckling to myself because I'm just reminiscing about this issue my wife and I had, where we were both just impacted massively, heavily by decision fatigue around a relatively minor thing. And we circled for a long time before finally making a decision. Why did it take so long? You know, I don't know. We just overthink things sometimes, and you may too. But add on top of that the fact that we make 30,000 plus decisions per day, and it can be a real thing, and it can cause you to miss out on things sometimes as well. I gave you an example at the start of the show. We're going to come back to those three houses, by the way, because we're going to be now shifting our focus into the real estate space. And by the way, if you have any questions for me, I want to give you my email. You can send those over to askandy@luinc.com. LuinkInc.com. Again, askandy at LuinkInc.com. Don't sit long and hard on making a decision. I've got a question. Ask the question. Right? Don't. Nothing to weigh and weigh again. But let's talk about decision fatigue in the real estate space. The last thing I closed with ahead of the break was the fact that if you're going to make a big decision, if you can prioritize that decision or that decision-making process for the morning time when you're fresh, right? I personally 100% perform better in the morning than in the afternoon. I 100% know this. I get a lot more done. So if I can prioritize that decision-making process to the morning, that's the time to do it. Now, those emails that I got, what if they come in the afternoon? Well, they may do that. They absolutely may do that. In fact, I get emails from Lifestyles Realty all day long. I mentioned Georgia, from here in Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth, Houston, San Antonio areas, Kansas City, Missouri. I see those quite a lot. Other markets as well. So they do come in all day. In fact, it was interesting. I was on a single family road trip. This was done virtually. We were looking at various properties for sale, and there was a questionnaire at the end. And one of the questions asked, when do you read these email blasts, is what we call those, when the properties come in? And most people read those in the morning. So I don't know if that's people that have recognized that I make better decisions in the morning. Maybe they have more time in the morning. They've not gotten bogged down by all the other things that stack up alongside all those thousands of decisions that we're making. But that just seems to be the best time. Now, what kind of decisions, thinking about real estate and real estate investing, what kind of decisions are we making? Well, there are a lot. There really are a lot. And it does in part depend on what type of investor you are. When I began investing 12 plus years ago, when I became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited in March of 2012. So I've been doing this for a while, but we started out buying single family houses. So that was our focus. So I was a single family investor. Eventually we shifted gears we added to the mix passive investing in apartments. So those are two different things, right? That will inform what kind of decisions you're making. And, you know, a single family investor tends to be running the show. So you will be making a lot of decisions. If you're a syndicator of apartments, you're the one that's putting that investment together, you are making a heck of a lot of decisions. Now, if you're a passive investor, you're deciding if this investment is the one for me versus, say, that other one or that one over there. You know, I've been looking at a number of passive investment opportunities that have come into my pipeline recently. So we've got to decide, do we do one? Can we do multiple? Right? Which one meets our goals, et cetera. Once that's done, right, decision-making's off for the passive investor. That's the nice thing about being a passive investor. You're not adding quite so much to your plate. Now, as a single-family investor, a lot of my decisions come at the outset. I need to find the property. I need to decide if that's the property for me. I need to decide what is the level of rehab that we want to do. I need to decide what is the rent, right? I need to decide how we're going to market that. Lots of things that go into that. Who's going to help me with the renovations, et cetera. Once we have everything put together, it's pretty passive as well. If you're doing it right, if you follow what we teach at Lifestyles Unlimited, best product, best price, fix everything that's broken now, it's pretty much on autopilot after that. But occasionally something comes up and you are the decision maker. So different decision making subtypes, I suppose, in that real estate investing space. But how do you help yourself? Because again, here you can experience decision fatigue. I speak from experience. Well, a couple things you can do. Number one, we talked about some of the things you can do more broadly within your life, and some of those will apply here. But I think having very, very clear, specific goals is paramount to helping you avoid decision fatigue. If you have very clear goals and you know this is the path I'm on, if you're disciplined, some people deviate very easily, some people don't. But if you can make sure you stay on that path, having clear goals will help you with your decisions. You know, investing criteria goes hand in glove with having goals. You know, I mentioned the three properties. We'll come back to those here in a minute. If you know what your absolute cash flow has to be or your cash on cash return, if you know what your equity capture, what you want to find there, or what that return on capital gain with that equity capture needs to be, if you know what your out-of-pocket requirements are when investing, if you have a age of the property, you know, if my criteria, let's talk about those properties. If my investment criteria says I only want to buy houses that are 80s or newer, well, that immediately rules out two of those three houses. One was built in the 50s, 1951. One was built in the 60s. One was built in the 80s. Well, if I'm only going to buy stuff built 80s or newer, bam, I don't have to think about those anymore. I don't have to struggle over whether that is a good choice. If I'm not as bound by age of the property, but maybe I'm more focused, let's say, on equity capture, let's say I want to see $40,000 or greater in equity capture. Again, here too, that rules out two of the properties. If my target is cash flow, right? When my wife and I started buying a dozen years ago, our goal was to get her out of a bad job. And in order to do that, we needed to build up the cash flow to replace her income. Houses cash flow very fast, right? The renovation time is very short compared to some of the repositioning we see in apartments, which is why we went down the single family path. And we said we need to have, at the time, cash flow of X amount or greater, $400 or greater, right? The market shifted. Now our target is $200 or greater. Yours might be $300 or greater. If it's $300 or greater, one of those houses falls by the wayside immediately. Now you have two to decide between. So the clearer your investment criteria, the broader, well, not the broader, let me rephrase that, the more data points, let's say, that you hit, the quicker those decisions will be made. Now, if you over-refine that criteria, you may be ruling out everything. I need to see $100,000 in equity capture. I need to see $500 in cash flow. In a 1990s or newer house, you're not going to find that. You will never find that, right? That we're going to talk about perfectionism here in a minute. If you have perfectionist tendencies, and you need to have the very best, the most optimal, the perfect thing, that can be a problem as well. And that can really fuel decision fatigue too. But having clear investment criteria, paramount. Now, I used the word delegate a minute ago. In your broader life, you know, avoiding decision fatigue through delegation, I don't know where that, you know, you got to figure that out. Is that having a housekeeper? Is that having someone mow your lawn? I don't know. You can put a lot of things into place, whatever, for your kids. But when it comes to real estate investing, delegation is hugely important. Hugely important. You know, first house we bought, did we go out and do the repairs? We did not. Did we go out and write up the scope of work? We now know better what we want, but we just said, hey, general contractor, go give me a quote. You give me a quote. You give me a quote. We coupled that with the education that we had built at that point from Lifestyles Unlimited to figure out who do we want to use. But delegating that process, delegating that work to somebody else is important. And in particular, the general contractor, I bring this up because I remember a situation very early on, first house, maybe the second house. That GC said to my wife in particular, she was the one at the house, well, what color paint do you want? You know what she said? She said, whatever paint you use for all the other houses you do. That's one example of delegating the decision. And by delegating, you also take a lot of decisions off your plate, right? Delegating to that general contractor. And you learn at Lifestyles Unlimited what does a scope of work look like? How do I put that together? It is good to know how to do that because at some point you're going to get different scopes of work. You know, when we had bids come in from different general contractors without telling them what we wanted, well, one would suggest these things, right? They're the apples. This guy would suggest these things. There's the oranges. And the other guy gave us a pear. Well, it's just like going down the grocery store aisle and you see all of these products. They're all kind of the same thing, but they're different, right? Well, how do you compare? Well, the best way to do that is know how to put your own scope of work together and tell the contractor, this is what I want to see. Now you can compare three estimates on the same level, right? That comes with education. And by the way, education is key to helping you overcome this sort of decision fatigue. When you know what you're doing, you're not shooting from the hip. Right, I mentioned one of the signs of decision fatigue is that you start to make impulsive decisions. You don't want to do that in this space. You do not want to do that in the real estate investing space. And the big way to avoid that is to be educated so that you do know what you are doing. And I would tell you alongside that is having a mentor, having somebody that has been doing this for a while that knows what they're doing so that if you do run into a decision that you are having difficulty with, that you find you are procrastinating with, that you are overthinking, reach out to that mentor. Because they can help you. They're not going to make the decision for you, by the way. But they will help you peel back that onion and get to the heart of the issue so that you can make the right decision. But sometimes you need help, and you cannot be afraid to ask for help. And that's where Lifestyles Unlimited was a huge help in my life, is because we had single-family mentors by our side. And when we ran into things that we weren't sure about and we found ourselves spinning our wheels, we would call them or email or text, get a reply, have a conversation, peel back that onion, make the decision. And move on. Same with multifamily. We have multifamily mentors to help as well, both on the passive and the active side. But hugely important. And I think if you can put together a really strong network of fellow investors, same thing there. You can lean on them. You can ask questions to help you when you aren't sure what to do. Now, aside from that, proper education, having people by your side, a great roadmap. You know, I mentioned earlier setting very crystal clear goals. Having a clear roadmap around this business generally, broadly, will help you. Right? Getting to financial freedom, is that investing in houses, is that apartments? You can spin your wheels forever just trying to make that decision. Good place to go, by the way. If you go to lifestylesunlimited.com, click on the free workshop button. If you're not real familiar with what we do as education and mentors, that's a good place to learn. And we'll talk at that free workshop about investing in housing, investing in apartments, how they make you money, what the differences are, so that you can make a decision. And then you go to the two-day financial freedom seminar. You get in a lot more detail, and you might think more detail. It's like walking down that grocery store aisle. Oh my gosh, too many decisions. No, that'll give you clarity. You'll get a better, clear roadmap to follow. And then you just copy. Right? Just copy what other people have been doing. That reduces the decisions as well. And alongside that, I mentioned earlier a checklist when you're doing that grocery shopping. What we have, I got it right here in front of me, man. I lean on this thing. This is a multi-page document timeline checklist. It's for single family investors. If you're going to invest in single family houses, you need a checklist. Not just to help you make decisions, but to make sure you don't miss anything, because there are a lot of moving parts. Now, moving parts should not scare you. These are all, you know, pretty basic things. You just don't want to forget something like insurance on a property. I have done that, right? So you want to make sure you follow something that will help you, number one, make sure you're making decisions in a timely way and not forgetting something important. So for real estate investing, I think that's the big thing. Now, I do want to come back to something I mentioned earlier. Again, make those decisions early if you can. Delegate to people if you can. Have clear goals, have clear investing criteria, have a checklist, proper education, mentors, all that good stuff. But sometimes you're just fighting your own personality, your own self. And I think in this case, know thyself applies very, very much so. With decision fatigue, I find I have perfectionist tendencies. I always want to find that most optimal solution. At least I did. And at some point, I recognized that this was part of the problem, part of the thing that was leading to my procrastination. Couldn't figure out. I don't know. This seems like it's the one decision, but maybe there's one better. Let me go get online. Let me go research some more. Let me talk to more people. At some point, you need to recognize if that's you and just make a decision, because trying to find perfection can take a long time and is probably impossible. And in the meantime, you've missed a ton of opportunity when it comes to rental property. These things move very, very fast. I replied to one of the email blasts just yesterday. Maybe a couple hours after it came in, I had missed it. I don't know, was busy. It was gone. House was gone. Right? So you have to be able to move fast. But sometimes small things, when you have those perfectionist tendencies, those small things can become overwhelming. I would tell you, just make a decision and then course correct if later you figure out, this didn't work. I ran into this very early on, having to replace a stove. Spent way too much time trying to find the best price, the best product. We follow that motto when we renovate our houses, absolutely. But you can spend a lot of time trying to find the perfect product. Best does not necessarily mean perfect. Bottom line, make a decision and improve next time. Now back to those houses. I quoted three. One was in Houston, one was in DFW, one was in Georgia, 1950s, 1980s, 1960s, respectively. All right, different footprints, different cash out of pocket. Do you have any idea which one you would buy? Well, this is where you really need to spend some time thinking about your criteria. And if you're new to the program and you've maybe just kind of thinking about dipping your foot into the real estate investing space, why real estate at all? Why real estate at all? Well, looking at these houses, they're all different. They're all in different places. They're different sizes. It takes me more or less cash to invest in each of them. But each and every one of these houses is going to make me money five ways. So I want to come back to a term I used early on. I said I was going to clarify this, and that's equity capture. In every single one of these situations, I am capturing equity. And what that means is I'm going to go out and buy a house. I'm going to use my numbers, not these numbers. I want to use round numbers, but I can buy a house for $100,000. And if I then put $50,000 in repairs into that house, because this is a distressed property, that's what we want to buy, houses that need work, we'll get those at a discount. Instead of $200,000 or $250,000, I buy it for $100,000. Do $50,000 worth of work, and that pushes the value of that property up. It brings it back to modern day, right? Corrects all the faults with the property, maybe a foundation repair, new roof, new AC, all the cosmetic stuff. But that drives up the value. Now it is worth $200,000 or $250,000, and you can see my all-in $150,000 plus closing cost to $200,000 or $250,000 in value. There's a big gap there. That gap is called equity capture. And in that first property we talked about, Houston, my asking price here, $124,000, but it's worth $225,000 once it's fixed up. And through the process of fixing it up, I create equity. In fact, that equity capture is to the tune of $46,000. My invested cash, also equity, is $13,000. So my total equity position here is $13,000 plus $46,000. That's a big number. So equity capture, that's just one of the five ways we make money on this house. I mentioned the cash flow. This one, it's $205 per month, estimated, right? I find our realtors tend to be conservative. That comes in higher sometimes, but let's just run with 200, right? That's $2,400 per year. I'm making money from cash flow every month. And who's paying the mortgage? I'm not paying the mortgage. I collect a rent. That's where that cash flow comes from. And that goes to my mortgage payment as well. And my principal gets paid down and I enjoy equity buildup. And all the while, the market will go up and up. Now, we have periods where it declines a little bit, but over time, real estate doubles in value every 20 years. So you'll see appreciation. Those are four ways that we're making money: cash flow, three equity plays, and then we enjoy really big tax advantages. If you're doing it right, you're not paying any taxes on that cash flow. And when you dispose of the asset, when you sell it, there are big tax advantages as well. So you don't pay any taxes on the capital gains. So to those that are new, why real estate? That's why. So if you're trying to decide, right, if you're trying to decide, I don't want you to have any decision fatigue around whether or not you should invest in real estate, whether that's single family or apartments. The same five apply to apartments plus one other way that we make money there. But conversation for another day. I don't want you to sit and spin your wheels too long. Go to lifestylesunlimited.com. Click on that free workshop. Learn what we do. Learn about making money on apartments, on houses, and why you should get started. Don't make this one of those things that you think about for far too long. Just make a decision. Go register. Learn what we do. And we'll talk next week. You have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.